Hey, everybody. God is good all the time. That is the most important statement you will ever believe in all of your life. Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist. Let's read about it. We're going to go from middle of verse 2 through 17. And, you know, look, there's a lot to these chapters. I would just invite you. We're covering a chapter a week. So go through it each week. There's a lot there that we're not going to be able to cover during these sermons. And we just want you to just take the opportunity to get to know what the Lord is telling you about his son Jesus and all that he has told us and how we are to follow him. This is what Luke writes in chapter 3. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of forgiveness, of repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let's pray. Father, we just so thank you. We thank you for communicating with us all that we need. Thank you so much for speaking with us. You speaking with us alone is an act of love. Thank you so much. Please give your speaker the words to say and give us all ears to hear what the Spirit has to say through your word this evening. It's in the Lord's name that we pray. Amen. So when Dr. Luke is talking, you got that PowerPoint, Kieran? So when Dr. Luke talks about John the Baptist, as he does pretty extensively, this son of the high priest, Zechariah, he invokes Isaiah chapter 40. Now, we're not going to... Isaiah 40, if you ever have the opportunity... Man, there's some good stuff in the book of Isaiah. But chapter 40 is just a beautiful poem all about the goodness of God. And Luke hyperlinks the beginning of chapter 40 to what he says here. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in. Every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight. The rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. Now, my family has had the opportunity to go through the islands of Japan, travel through myself, driving through Japan, and it's a mountainous set of islands, and there is a lot of civil engineering, great civil engineering going on in Japan for those of you who have ever been there, or, you know, places like it, New Zealand, etc. But there are tunnels. They really have, you know, when you go from A to B, and you're in an environment where it's hard to get around in, there's a lot of magnificent civil engineering that's taking place. There's tunnels long tunnels, kilometers of tunnels going through mountains. There's kilometers of bridges traversing seas, connecting islands. And so this is how Luke describes John the Baptist and the truly the work of the Lord that is going on. Now, the destination seems a bit odd, at least it does to me, because it doesn't quite match up. What Luke writes is, all flesh will see the salvation of God. Go ahead to the next one, Kieran. But in Isaiah, it says, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. All people will see it together. Huh. Did Luke make a mistake? Did Luke not quite transcribe Isaiah quite right? Nah. I won't keep you in suspense for very long. We don't have that long in the evening. No, actually, God's salvation is the glory of the Lord. It's why Paul writes in Romans, now all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The glory of God is the salvation of God. And we must allow him to clear the path, to lower the mountains, to raise the valleys, to traverse the seas, in order for us to get to the destination that we have been destined for. You follow? To know him, to see him, to walk with him, to know him so well that we have joyful, loving, intimate, encouraging, life-giving conversations. Yes, conversations with God, with the Lord. It's possible. In fact, it's necessary to have these kind of conversations, to have this kind of a relationship with him. That is life to the full. And so how do we get there from here? What is the way of the Lord? How do we go from where we are to where he wants us to go? Go ahead, Kieran. First of all, we need to trust. We need to trust in the way of the Lord. Now, you might be looking at those verses and going, boy, Lance, I have no idea where you're going with this. Yeah, I mean, imagine, you know, as Pete has mentioned, we have this baptism service coming up in 7 weeks. And for those of you who are contemplating it, please do. It's a wonderful time of celebration, and it's a wonderful time for you to be before those of us brothers and sisters cheering you on. But imagine if we were all coming up, and the people who were going to be baptized were coming up to Pete, and Pete goes, "You brood of vipers." Probably wouldn't go down very well, I reckon. But, you know, John the Baptist, he has his little particular way about him. And really, it's not a random insult, because John is speaking to people who know their Bible. And when he's calling people brood of vipers, what's he really doing? Well, we know that viper is serpent. And for those of us who know our Bible, we know that it was a serpent who deceived us. And the number one seed of doubt that accuser, who not only accuses us, but accuses God, right, is you can't trust him. He's holding out on you. Don't believe a word that he says. He just wants to keep you under his feet. Nothing could be further from the truth, friends. Perhaps you can imagine at this time there has been a long period of silence. And there's been a longer period of silence for those perhaps in Israel who was poor. Those, you know, perhaps let's suppose a woman who has been suffering bleeding for 12 years. Maybe a leper who was isolated in their home. Tax collectors who felt the sting of the culture anyway, and so they just didn't know whether God really cared about them or not. And so they would ask that question that Isaiah posits. in verse 27, as they say, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. Maybe you have said those things. Maybe you have had those thoughts go through your mind as you wonder why in the world this life doesn't make sense. Sometimes you will never make sense of this life, except for the fact to know that even when it doesn't make sense, God is good all the time. And so Isaiah explains in verse 11 of chapter 40, he says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him, his reward. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Let me just follow on what my dear brother Simon just said. There is a pattern in the Old Testament. The people turn away from God. They are attacked. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon a champion. And as Simon so eloquently said, you know, it comes upon Gideon, comes upon Samson, comes upon Deborah. Then comes the king. It's like, okay, well, obviously this isn't enough. We need to have kings. So it goes upon Saul, it goes upon David. And still the decline of Israel persists. And Isaiah very well summarizes all of this. And it's almost as though, and it is as though, the Lord says, it's not getting any better. The only way it is going to get better is if I come and take care of it myself. You follow? And so he is clearing the road. He is doing the engineering. He is lowering those mountains. He is raising those valleys. He is traversing those rivers, those seas. And all he asks for us to do is to trust the road that he is traveling with us, that he is that road. Jesus is the way, and he is the destination. How trippy is that? But it's true. And so not only do we trust him, we follow. Go ahead, sir. Once we trust him, once we travel down that road, this is baptism. The baptism of John was a baptism, as we read, of repentance. And he tells them, keep fruit, bear fruit, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Now you might say, okay, here we go. You guys say grace, but that's really, you know, a bait and switch, and it's really about what we do. No. Fruit is result, not cause. And so the question that we followers of Jesus understand, and the one that we should be asking all the time, it's not about what we do, it's about why we do it. And the reason we go against one another, the reason why we don't have that self-esteem, the reason why we look for validation in other places, the reason why we worship other gods, is because we don't have the kind of relationship with him that he wants. And therefore, the works of the flesh multiply and not the fruit of the Spirit. It's like those modern cars, right? With the modern safety features. And if you'll notice, you'll be driving down the road, and then you'll start to drift toward the shoulder, and then you'll feel that gentle tug on the steering wheel, right? Mate, you're getting too close to the side of the road, right? And sometimes it drives me crazy, and sometimes I appreciate it. And sometimes I ignore it. Oh. But it's the same way with the Lord God. He doesn't do it to keep us under his thumb or to prove that he's the boss. He corrects us because he knows that we're getting a little bit too close. That we're flirting with stuff that we don't really want to flirt with. And when we have the kind of relationship with him, when we come to know him, when we come to trust him, when we have this just working relationship and we're talking with him and more to the point, we're listening to him and we're just trusting the road that he has given us, it shouldn't send us into a tizzy or make us flinch whenever he grabs the wheel and says, mate, you're getting a little bit too close to the shoulder. You follow? And so we trust and we follow. And when you get bitter, when you get angry, when you have despair, when you feel anxious, feel that tug on the road and talk to him. And get back on that road that he has paved for you, not out of slavish obligation, but out of genuine fatherly love. So we trust, we follow, and then we relax. Go ahead, Kieran. You relax within the way of the Lord. You know, you can tell I do a lot of driving. But when I go down Wanderer Road, maybe you have experienced this, particularly down the north-south arteries, perhaps not down Wanneroo, but perhaps down Marmion, perhaps down Alexander, perhaps down Mirabooka. You'll perhaps experience this phenomenon. You will be a nice, compliant, you'll be driving the speed limit, you'll be obeying all the rules of the road, and then all of a sudden there'll be somebody going past you at a very breakneck pace. We'll be tailgating the one behind him. We'll be swerving in and out of lanes and be very impatient going down that road. They got someplace to be. And then an interesting phenomenon takes place. You get to the next light and there they are. It's incredible. And it's like, oh, I guess your way wasn't working very well. I guess you were in a hurry, but you're not going very well. I don't say that. I just keep my eyes forward. And I certainly don't gesture. And so, oh, hey. This is why I don't like preaching with my wife in the room. All right. Only once. Twice? All right. It's like that for us, isn't it? You know, for me, sometimes I, Eleanor, God bless you. Basically, all I'm doing is summarizing what everybody else has said during this service, so thank you. But, you know, for Eleanor, you know, I get anxious. And I say, you know what? God isn't going the schedule that I want. God doesn't have the plans for me that clearly he should have. And so I'm going to step on the accelerator, and I'm going to tailgate, and I'm going to get a little rude, and I'm going to try to force my way in. And then Jesus pulls up alongside me on the red light and says, how you going, mate? In a bit of a hurry? You can follow me. I seem to be going pretty well. I say, yeah, I guess so. Do we understand who it is that we serve, that who loves us? You know, when Luke says, out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham, this seems like a random jibe, right? But, you know, there's nothing about prophets that are ever random. And it seems like a jibe, and yes, it's meant to, hey, don't depend on your family lineage. Just because you're born a Jew doesn't mean you have the heart of a Jew. And the Lord God, again and again and again in his word, says, I'm more interested in those who have hearts of Jews than those who have heritage of Jews, right? But hey, you know what? He does raise up children of Abraham from stones. After all, what are we? We're dirt. We're mounds of dirt. From dust we were formed, and from dust we will return. One key difference, His Spirit within us. And when we have His Spirit, we are His children. So yes, He creates children of Abraham out of these stones. And that's us. And as you read through that marvelous poem in Isaiah 40, you will discover a God who counts the stars in the sky, who placed the stars in the sky, who scoops up the oceans in His hand, who rises up and tears down princes and nations and has understanding. Who can counsel the Lord God? Who has His understanding? He has all power, all wisdom, all strength, all sovereignty, and yet lowers the mountains, raises the valleys, crosses the seas in order for us to not only go to Him, but be with Him and travel with Him. You follow? It's an amazing thing. So, can we trust the maker of the universe? Can we trust the Most High Sovereign with His timing, with His perspective, and just relax? You know, I think this is so often why He comes to us in our greatest weakness. When we have no other option, we turn to Him. Now, sadly, this is true, but it is true. There was 2 weeks ago, our niece, who many of you know, suddenly had trouble breathing. Went to the doctor, went to the GP. The GP said, ooh, there's something serious going on here. You better check yourself into Joondalup. She went over to Joondalup, got a scan. There's a tumor. Better take her over to Charlie's. She was flown in over to Charlie's, put in the ICU. And then basically 2 weeks ago Sunday, locking up, Michelle sent me a text saying her lungs have collapsed. We better get down there. And we did. And there's a lot of people in the room who know the Lord and love Charlie. Much to my surprise, and for those of you who have ever dealt with ICU issues, you'll know how picky they are with having people go in and out of that room, right? For very good reasons. 8 of us were allowed to go in. And with Charlie, with tubes hanging out all over her, looking in the most weakest state, her dad just beside himself with sorrow and confusion and anger. All we could do was pray. All we could do was ask Him. And man, did He come through. This past Wednesday, she was taken off of all life support. Yesterday, she was discharged and she's at home, only to have chemo for her Hodgkin's lymphoma. That, oh, by the way, her aunt dealt with at the age of 17, so it's kind of become a mentor for her. But I have no doubt the way the Lord has moved that there's going to be remission in Charlie's future, no doubt. And then God says, you know, I'm coming through for you here. Can you please trust me when lives aren't on the line? Can you please trust me? Can you please just relax and just know that I have your best interest at heart all the time? So we trust, so we follow, so relax. And then, go ahead, Kieran. And then, now this seems like, you know, a bit of a negative, but, you know, that's why I put hopefully, right? But we endure. You know, the best advice, the what is your dream scenario whenever you are lost? What is your dream scenario whenever you are right in the middle of a place where you have no idea where you are? You kind of know where you want to get to, but you just don't know how to get there. What is your dream scenario? Might I suggest this scenario? That you find a person who has been and is intimately familiar with where you are going, who is willing to be in the vehicle or mode of transportation with you, is kind, friendly, and loving, and wants to direct you all the way there. And not only that, but open the door and give you a nice hot meal. Wouldn't that be great? Friends, that's exactly what we have. When we are lost, when we cannot find our way to the glory of God, we have one who does not wait for us to figure it out. But he flags us down, says, "Hey, I'm from where you want to go." He gets in the vehicle with us, and he talks with us every step of the way. Even at times when there's a fog. Even at times when we blow a flat. Even at times when there's constructions to navigate. Even when it seems like we're not going around through that mountain. We're not able to traverse that valley. We're not able to drive over that sea. Wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40 says. This is not a passive wait. This is a trusting wait. This is an enduring wait. I am going to trust him with my life no matter how the apparent circumstances might dictate. Because there will be times, believe me, there will be times when the environment, when the circumstances scream, he isn't trustworthy. He isn't good. He isn't just. Don't believe a word of it. He is everything we hope for and more. Jesus saw his relationship with his father. These first three chapters are basically all prologue, introducing Jesus in the story. We see Jesus get, you know, separated from his parents, and he's at the temple, and he says, "Hey, didn't you know where I was going to be? I'm at my father's house." He goes with his parents. He comes to John the Baptist, and he says, "To fulfill all righteousness," in Matthew's account, "it is right for me to be baptized." John the Baptist says, "What are you talking about? You need to baptize me. What are you repenting of?" But that's not the way Jesus thought. That's not the way Jesus lived. He had a very trusting, intimate relationship with his father. That loving relationship with his father was like the very air he breathed. And you say, "Well, that's great, but that's Jesus." Why do you think he came, Christian? So that we could have that same kind of relationship with his father that he does. Which is why we are to trust in the way. We are to, I always stumble on this one. We are to follow in the way. We are to relax in the way. We are to endure in the way. Which is why when Jesus performs that mighty act of obedience and he continues that relationship with the Father all the way to becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, that at this moment, it's one of the times, as though a clarion call has gone out from God and is calling to all of us who would witness this scene. This is good and proper. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in those waters of baptism, with the Father saying, "You are my child whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And I promise you, I don't know what kind of fantasies you have in your life. I don't know what kind of dreams that you have. I promise you this. If you trust him with your life, you're going to come before him, and he's going to tell you, "You are my child whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful. We are so grateful for you. We are grateful for how you have lowered the mountains, how you have raised the valleys, how you have traversed the seas. You have done everything in your power to come to see, for us to see, that you are good, that you are holy, that you are worthy of our worship, that you are glorious, that you are just, that you are sovereign, that you are love, that you are light, that you want us to walk in the garden with you. Our mind can hardly fathom. And we are so grateful that despite all the times we wanted to veer off the road, you keep us on. I just ask that you would continue to encourage my brothers and sisters here, that they would see you as you truly are, that we would relate with you as you want and deserve to be related to. Thank you. We look forward to the day when you will see us face to face. Thank you for the opportunity to know you, the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent, as revealed by your Spirit living within us, working through us. Thank you. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And help us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, every day. In whose name we pray. Amen.